It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the best and only podcast that features our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right. A little tipsy on some of the wine I was drinking tonight at a little wine tasting.
Oh, yeah?
So we're feeling okay. I just got home, turned the Browns Steelers game on. I don't know why I'm watching this. Probably going to switch over to Jeopardy Tournament of Champions, which I have to catch up on.
Did you see that clip the other day?
No, don't spoil.
I'm not giving it away. But there was a clip the other day of a contestant in Final Jeopardy that gave a nice little message to Trebek, and I did watch that clip.
Yes, I did. That was very sweet.
I'm not going to ruin the Tournament of Champions. Which, by the way, is what's his name in the Tournament of Champions?
Yes, he is Holzhauer. Yes, he is.
How's he doing?
I don't know because I have so much to catch up on. I haven't even watched his first round episode yet.
Gotcha.
So
how long is it?
Every time I talk to my dad, my dad's like, "Have you watched it?" And I'm like, "No, please don't spoil it for me." And what did he do 2 days ago?
Spoiled something?
Spoiled one of the episodes for me.
Aww,
he's like, "Oh, so and so won their match today on Jeopardy." I'm like, "Dad, shut up. Like, don't spoil it." I need to watch it before my dad spoils the rest of it on me.
The tournament is like a one time, it's not like a where you can keep winning, right? It's like you win it and you win a prize and that's it.
Yes, the tournament is you win and you win like $250,000 and that's it.
So nowhere near the amount that James Holzhauer won previously.
No, like he would take, based on how much he was winning in regular games, it would have taken him 5 shows to get $250,000.
Yeah.
But for anybody else who, you know, if the winning total was like maybe let's say $25,000 a game, you know, then obviously that's a little more. So, and you get like $100,000 for coming in second, I think $50,000 for coming in third. So they give you a decent chunk of change for just getting that far in it.
All right. Well, I won't ruin it. I haven't seen it, so I can't spoil it for you.
Good. All right.
Okay. So let's get into it. So, obviously we're now in the home stretch, right? We're in the final 3 divisional matchups. There's a lot that can happen here, especially in the middle division, is what's the name of the division? Cheeto Fingers.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Sorry. And Cheeto Fingers, lots can happen. In Horse Sized Ducks, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that myself and Joe will be in the playoffs. As far as Structural Purist goes, Rachel's got the inside track,
grabs. Yep.
Goop can still ruin that surprise, can ruin her playoff bid, but it'll be really fascinating to see what comes out of Cheeto Fingers, because all of those teams are still in contention to make the playoffs. It looks like more or less Kat's got the playoff bid for her division locked up, but the other 3 people could very easily take so 2 of those 3 are likely going to end up being in the playoffs. Unless, you know, and I don't know the math, I haven't done the math of how it would work out, but I think there's almost no chance for Goop to get in as not the division winner.
I don't know how tiebreakers or how the scenarios would play out, but yeah, it would seem like Goop's only shot is to win their division. I guess they could, you know, theoretically, if they go 7-6, maybe still kind of get in as a wild card. I don't know. I don't know all the scenarios, so who knows?
Yeah, and Gelch, I don't think has a shot, right? I mean, we've established that.
No, Gelch has a shot if he wins out and he goes 7-5-1. That puts him in the mix for one of the last spots.
Gotcha.
But if he has to win out and he can't lose again.
Okay.
He loses again, he's essentially eliminated.
Okay. Well, if you can beat him this week, that'd be really appreciated.
Probably not, but we'll see. You never know.
Okay. So let's take a look at the matchups this week. I'm going against Joe this week. Obviously, I'm shorthanded with Carson and Devontae on bye, and then obviously Green is hurt. That me insisting on getting Green and getting you Samuel is probably going to end up really hurting me. Because it's entirely possible at this point Green doesn't come back this year.
Yeah.
And so that really, really kills my depth. Obviously, you know, I went from having a lineup of, you know, Carson and Mac and KJ and then those three guys to Green's gone, KJ's gone, you know, so now I'm limping into playoffs. Obviously, I'm happy to make playoffs and anything can happen, but the loss of Hooper is also huge for me. So right now, as it stands, the Steelers game is going on. Chubb's only got 4 points through the first half, so I'll take that, even though Pitt's defense is only 7 points because they've scored twice and McDonald's only has a couple of points, but I'll take that trade with Chubb doing almost nothing any day. So for me, so far things are going well. We've got
things are going fine, but Joe should win your matchup regardless.
I would expect him to. Yeah, I actually
just
tried
based on the guys you have on bye.
Yeah, I tried this week to actually look at moving. I inquired, nobody would do anything, but I actually looked at trying to move Mac along with something else for a better end running back, because my thought was that I'm going to be basically probably losing this week anyway, so I might as well lean into it and see if I can get a better running back for the future. But nobody bit, so that's what we, you know, I am where I am. You've got Jake versus Joe. Now this is an interesting matchup, if only because Jake's team has had really high volatility. So he could potentially out-duel O'Brien if O'Brien has a low-scoring week. And then all of a sudden, if that happens, that whole division is wide open for anybody. I think if Jake loses...
Not the whole division. I still think Cat is very much in the driver's seat there.
Sure, but I guess what I'm saying is that I think if Jake loses against Joe, I think Jake's out of it. I don't think Jake has a shot to get back in. I think if he can beat O'Brien... Even because O'Brien's got the tie, then all of a sudden, any three of those players can still, you know, it's going to come down to, again, those final two matchups. But I think if Jake loses this week, he's out. Obviously, I hope that you play spoiler, but your team's not in a great position to match up against Gelch this week.
No, it's not, and I have my best player currently on bye this week, so
okay,
not great.
You've got Mike going up against Rachel. You know, she's off to a great start this week with Landry catch on touchdown. Who'd have thought Landry was the number one wide receiver in the Browns?
It's just a screwy offense.
How do you not?
Freddie Kitchens doesn't know what he's doing.
OBJ was better with like a worse quarterback throwing to him.
Yep.
In Eli Manning. Yep. How do you not figure that out?
I don't know, because they don't know what they're doing. They're not a professional coaching staff.
Yeah.
So, that's what happens.
You know, and what's crazy is that I think the talent is there, and I think it's the coaching staff. So,
I mean, nobody's denying that Odell Beckham is not one of the best receivers in the NFL. They just can't get him the ball because Baker Mayfield sucks. Freddie Kitchens sucks. Everybody sucks outside of, you know, pretty much him.
Yeah.
And it's not like Landry's bad either. Landry's good. It's Freddie Kitchens.
you know,
it's horrible. So I don't know what the Browns saw in him before the season, but.
He was calling plays and they were going really well at the end of last season. So.
Right. But that's ends up being a very short-sighted thing to hang your hat on with him. And now look what's happening to them. They're 3-6. So
sure, and he'll get another year,
and they'll get another
high draft pick. Yeah. Or no, actually, did they trade a first for OBJ? I can't remember.
I believe they did.
Okay, so the Giants are going to get that.
I don't know if it was multiple picks or not.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. You got Kat going up against Johnny. She's obviously now aided very heavily because James Conner has been rolled out for the entire game and only had 2 points. So again, that bodes well for her. And then in the matchup of Tim and Goop, same thing.
J-Bone is starting something named Russell Gage this week. Who the hell is that?
He is? I'll take a look.
It's currently in his flex. Russell Gage from the Falcons. I've never heard of him in my life. Who the hell is that?
I mean, he must.
Like the most, the new replacement or what?
I guess. Yeah, that's a.
Russell Gage is currently in his flex, is all I'm saying.
Why wouldn't he have played Deontay Johnson?
You'd have to ask him that.
I would have played Deontay Johnson or Jalen Samuels.
I don't know. Like I said,
I mean, you're basically playing this guy and you're hoping you're going to get a touchdown from him. I would have thought that playing Deontay Johnson or Samuels would give you that chance.
I don't know. You can ask him.
Yeah. Also,
Raybone, you have a question to be answered.
Yeah. Also, I'm surprised that Cat didn't play Kareem Hunt over Kenyon Drake, who's going up against the 49ers. I guess the reason is that he looked them up last time.
Far be for me to criticize, but because she's like 8-2, but you've held on to Kareem Hunt for this long. Like, what the, like,
yeah, time to put him in.
Why?
Yeah.
I just don't get it, but whatever.
Yeah, I think you're going to need another massive week from Michael Thomas. You're going to need Gurley to do something, and then you need to have McCaffrey have a bad game and Cooper Hutt have a low scoring game. I think if all those things happen, then Johnny's got the inside track to win that game. But Cat's team is just ridiculous, and again, it's all aided by
very strong. Yes.
It's all aided by McCaffrey. So.
Like I said, I await in the playoffs when she makes the wrong call at quarterback and ends up kicking herself for, you know, starting Murray over Rodgers 1 week and it coming back to bite her in the butt.
Yeah. So what's frustrating is that I think me losing, if I lose to Mancuso this week, he's basically guaranteed the first division spot, I think, because if I lose... If I win the next two games and he wins the next two games, we end up.
I mean, that's with still, it's still a relatively big if.
Sure, but we end up with the same record. But then
no, because you have a tie.
Well, hold on. Would I have one better?
End up with the same record because you have the tie.
Right, with the same number of wins. So I'm saying, if I lose to him,
right,
I go to 7-3-1.
If you lose to him and then he wins out, he wins the division.
He wins the division, and so he wins the bye. Yes. I was really hoping that Kat and I would,
but
both
he would
end
have
up
to win out.
Yeah, he would, but I mean, beating me all of a sudden his chances gets much stronger. No offense.
Right, because he has Gelch and me.
He's got Gelch and you, so you Gelch is the best shot of beating him next week. But I was really hoping that Kat and I would get the number one, number two seed to make sure we were in the opposite sides of the bracket to increase our chances of us meeting in the finals.
I mean, never say never. You never know what's going to happen. I've been known to pull off, even with bad teams, pull off a week 13 upset of Joe Mancuso in the past. Just ask him about 2015 and even last year. Last year, I was the last person to beat him in week 13. Mm-hmm. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. League history might be on my side there, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, looking at the season stats, you know, Cat's home record 6-0, away 2-2. I'm 4-1-1 on home and 3-1. So I've got a winning record no matter where I go. Rachel losing record at home, and Johnny also losing record at home.
Huh. Whatever that all means.
It means nothing. It's completely. Completely nothing. Right. Let's see. So Johnny,
Tim versus Goop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in this matchup, Goop's already now hurt because Juju Smith's been ruled out for the game. So similar to Connor with Johnny's matchup with Kat, Tim benefits.
Goop has Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett on.
By. Yeah, who can go off, but they're not playing yet. So I at this point with Juju out. Rest of the game, I'm giving Tim the nod here. I think Tim's going to take it. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. I think Tim will. Yeah, especially with given the attrition that Goop has had. Yeah, that would be really bad for Goop, considering that they need to make up some ground here. So.
Yeah, and they still really have Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson in there. They have to get move them. Do they even have a?
They don't have a backup quarterback currently. So
they don't. So they have to do something.
And I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what they plan on doing. They started Juju in their flex.
Yeah, that was a poor decision.
Well, I mean, they can move him around. It's fine. They can move him into a receiver spot and stick in like Sony Michel.
No, you can't. Once they're in, they're locked in.
I don't think that that's No, that's no.
Yeah, that's how it works. When a player plays in that spot, they're locked in.
No. We should let them move it around.
Why?
Because it's just stupid to have it locked into that on a Thursday night.
Well, they could just as easily have had him in the wide receiver spot. Tyler Lockett's on bye.
It's such a small formality. We should just let them move it into the receiver spot.
This is poor ownership. I disagree. It's fine. This is poor ownership management. Nope, disagree.
I don't think so. I think we should let him move it in. It's one of those stupid things that we really shouldn't let happen. Like if they have an eligible player to put in the flex spot, what the hell difference does it make whether they're a receiver or they're in the flex spot? Who gives a shit?
Well, the problem is
it's such small potatoes. Like it's not worth getting riled up over and making a whole stink about it over. Just let them put it in receiver. Let them put Sony Michel on the flex and let's call it a day.
Okay. Well, we'll see how the league feels.
Yeah. I don't think we should make a big fuss over it.
Tim's still going to win, so it doesn't matter.
We'll see.
All right. Well, those are all the matchups.
Yes.
So, all right, let's go to predictions then. Let's talk about who we think is going to be in the playoffs. And, we're 3 weeks out, but let's go ahead and call it. Who's going to be in the finals for you?
I'll go with Kat, and I will go with, he's still got to get there, but I still say Joe O'Brien. I don't know. It's close between Joe Mancuso and Joe O'Brien for me for the second final slot. So I still want to lean Joe O'Brien just because I think his team can really be explosive on a given week. So I'm going to stick with his team.
Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Kat myself. So
no surprise there.
No surprise.
I mean, not to say that your team is any, you know, it's not that far behind for me, like Joe and Joe. Like to me, any of you four are the strongest teams. I feel like with like J-Bone fifth and like Rachel / Goop sixth, excuse me. So to me, that's kind of the division of things. I would put Kat in a tier by herself at number one right now. But she's not too far ahead of Joe and you. So that's kind of how I view things. I think it's still very much up for grabs.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and call that Jake is actually going to get in over Johnny.
And is Jake's going to get in over Johnny?
Yep.
And Joe O'Brien gets in as well? Or
Joe
what?
O'Brien gets in. Although I guess I got to decide, do I want Jake in or do I want Goop in? No, I don't know.
It's a tough call.
Because this is basically for the sixth seed in my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick Jake's team just because I think Josh Allen is so underrated. I think Jacob's been great. I think DJ Moore's been great. Jameson Crowder's been great. I think Waller will come back. You know that since like I just saw the stat today, and it was something like since a certain time, these the number of people that have more rushing touchdowns than Josh Allen, and it was like five people.
That's it.
Yeah, like something like that. So he's been lighting it up. He doesn't throw, he just runs. So that he gets all his he's like a Lamar Jackson light. That's a good way to look at him. Yeah, I'm gonna put Jake in over.
Okay, all right. I don't mind the call at all.
So I'm actually gonna let's write this down for posterity.
Go ahead, write it down. Okay. Record in the WhatsApp.
Okay, so I'm saying Charlie, Mancuso, O'Brien, Jake, Rachel, Kat, and then with me and Kat in the finals.
I'll go you, Joe, Johnny, Kat, Rachel.
Okay, so the only difference we have is Jake and Johnny. And then who in the finals, you said? You're picking.
I'm picking Joe and Kat. I don't know how the
Joe Bryan or Joe.
Joe Bryan. I don't know how the brackets are going to play out. Though,
no, so, I don't. It's hard to say right now.
It's hard. It's really hard to say that. So
but we'll see. Okay. All right. So we're recorded. Yeah. We'll come back to it, and we'll see how things play off.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Anything else? Go back to more. Go watch some Jeopardy.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not that interested in this because I just really don't care right now.
I think how many actual observations did you do this year? Because this might be the record for the fewest you've ever done.
Two. I did the first 2 weeks and that was it.
Yeah, this must be the record, right, for the fewest you've ever done.
Yes, I would say that that's probably accurate. Yeah. I mean, my team sucked, which, first of all, I came into the year, I cared, and I was, you know, doing draft prep and all that stuff, but I was just like, once I drafted a terrible team, and I knew my team was terrible, I just lost interest immediately.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I just don't care anymore. And honestly, like, I haven't cared this much, I would say since 20, or this less. Since 2015, and I just don't care.
Fair enough.
And like I've said before, it's actually kind of refreshing because my Sunday afternoons
opened up.
I'm not like obsessing over scores. I'm you know, I'm watching the games more for fun than for fantasy. It's actually been kind of eye-opening and refreshing, like how much I'm not like tethered to my phone or tethered to, you know, every little update that happens in games. It really does kind of make me want to reevaluate my position vis-a-vis fantasy football in the long term.
No, I get it. I mean, I've basically only been getting about an hour on Sundays, which is, you know, because I watch the first hour of the 1 o'clock games, because at that point, the kids are usually down for a nap, and then they wake up like 2:30. So I get that 1 hour, and then basically we're on the go the rest of the time. So for me, it's been similar for me, not being able to watch, which is fine. I don't mind. It's just odd that you know, I don't care about watching as much as I used to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely cared in 2016 and 2017. I cared for most of last year too, but. Yeah, this year has just been a completely different experience. It's weird. I don't know. We'll see what this means going forward. Not that I would give it up, but like I said, co-ownership is probably, I would say, definitely in the cards for me, whether it's my brother or somebody else from the group next year.
Well, especially if you get the book, right? So
especially if I get the book deal, which is probably going to happen in one way, shape, or form. Whether it's with Simon & Schuster or whether it's with another company. So we'll see.
Now, it's okay to ask. So, like, I know what you mentioned that you guys get paid like in advance. Is that against book sales, or how does that, is it like, how does you get a royalty from each book? How does that actually get paid?
Well, from what I understand, like, that's all negotiated. It's like, if you accept a smaller advance, then maybe you get more in terms of royalties, right? If you take a larger advance, and you might not make as much on royalties, right? So that's kind of what would get negotiated, I guess.
But you're expecting to have to spend money for travel and things like that to get this book written for interviews and stuff, right? So like, does that also factor in?
Well, potentially, and that's something that we told our agent to negotiate in any deal, is to negotiate some sort of expense budget. You know, I don't know how much it would be, but yeah, we would probably be taking a few trips to South Bend, you know, throughout the reporting of this process. So, I would imagine that hopefully we would at least get some sort of budget for travel.
Hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Don't know how much it would be. I mean, Fortuna, Matt lives in Chicago. So for him to get to South Bend is a lot easier for him than it is for me. So, I don't know. But in terms of like flying to like, you know, interview different sources, I think a lot of this is just going to be done over the phone with different players and former coaches and things like that. I don't think we're necessarily going to have to interview a lot of them, like go to like, you know, wherever, I don't know, Los Angeles or New York or wherever they may be, just to interview them. I think a lot of this will be done over the phone, but we'll definitely want to go to South Bend at least a few times in the reporting of this.
Mm-hmm. And you think this? You think the school will be pretty pretty open to sitting down with you guys, or?
I mean, I hope so. I think a lot of the. I think a lot of the former players will definitely be open to it. I think a lot of the coaches, the former coaching staff that Fortuna has relationships with, I think they'd be more than happy to. I can't speak for Brian Kelly, you know, but Fortuna knows his agent really well. You know, so I think that if they were to sit down for something like this, that, you know, the fact that it's Fortuna and myself, and we've had prior relationships with the school and with Kelly and with the coaching staff and with players and with the PR staff and with the athletic department, that if they were going to cooperate on a book, we would hope that it would be ours, because we do have those. We're not just jumping in to do this. We have previous relationships with people. So, and they know that we would treat them fairly, and we're not trying to do a hatchet job on them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Yeah. And any advance you guys get is split between you, right?
Yes. So our agent would get a cut, and we would, Matt and I split it. We agreed to split everything 50-50. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, hopefully you'll hear soon, and we'll have something to celebrate.
Yeah, hopefully. I haven't heard any updates yet. We'll find out, and hopefully the coming weeks here, I would hope we would get something. You know, on paper and signed within the next few weeks. That's the hope. So
nice.
We'll see.
You know, one last note I'll mention, and this is coming back to the podcast. We recently passed 1,000 total plays. So
I don't know who's playing us, but thank you for that.
Yep. Someone in Sweden listens to us. We 2% of our listeners are from Sweden, apparently.
Amazing. Love it.
1% UK, 1% France. Oh,
we're going to have to learn some Swedish words. You know,
IKEA.
I used to cover, you know, Swedish hockey players. And one of the stories I did was about their Christmas celebration that they would have every year in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Their own little Swedish Christmas thing. So I'm going to have to break out some of those words and things that I learned in reporting that story for our Swedish audience.
Cool.
Yep.
Their names are hard to say. All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.